Well, welcome to all those you are here at Healing School and to those you're online or watching us online, welcome to you as well. For those of you who are not here, we've been singing a couple of songs about believing, and then we sang one about only your presence makes me whole, and couldn't have been more appropriate for what we're going to be talking about today. So when we read one of our verses here, in the first few minutes, and we talk about believing, I want you just to remember what we sang and that what that believing has done for us. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, I just thank you that you're causing increase, not just in this place, in this gathering of people at High Point Church, but you're causing increase in your people individually. And so this morning we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way with our life. Have your way in this place. You be the one who exalts Christ Jesus through the words that we speak. And let us, the church, be seen as part of His glory in this earth as we are in Him. So, Father, we ask for miracles this morning. We thank you that you affirm your word with signs and wonders. And that's our expectation. That's our joyful hope this morning. And we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about fighting and standing, yet at rest. Last week, we started this off by talking about, should I be fighting, should I be standing, or should I be resting? And to summarize last week up, basically what we said was, if I'm fighting and standing, I can still be resting. We do all those from a position of rest. And yet, we get frustrated sometimes when it seems like we're trying to fight the good fight of faith. Or we're standing, resisting, and yet it seems like we get frustrated because the answers don't come quickly. And if we're not careful, that frustration will bring a loss of hope. We can also get overwhelmed as the enemy will just dump things on us. And as he does, what he wants us to do is to see himself, us to see him and his problem that he's put on us, or that is on us, as larger than our God. And that's something we can't do. Then we begin to question our faith, and we may get ashamed. But we saw last week we have no reason to do any of those things, particularly the shame part, because the Word tells us over and over, believers will not be ashamed. And so we just need to recognize when we get in that state, this is where the enemy is trying to take us. This is what he wants us to think about ourselves. And that's not where we need to stay. Now, I told you last week that I have concluded for myself, and I'm repeating what I said earlier, that when we can't fight that good fight of faith, and that fight means contending as an athlete would, but it also means that you've got someone contending against you. And I think that's important to note. So when we're fighting and we're not seeing the results, fighting that good fight of faith, oh, then we stand and we don't see it. I think we need to learn what Hebrews 4:3 tells us. And we talked in detail about this last week, and it'll come up again. But today I really just want to focus on that first phrase in this review. For we who have believed enter into that rest. Now that makes it sound like if you really ponder that and meditate it, that there is a definite connection between believing and entering that rest. And we're going to build on that today because that is so important for us. You know, one translation says it's only as a result of our faith and trust that we experience that rest. And then verse 10 in that same chapter talks about the one who has entered in his rest has also rested from his works. And we're going to build on that today. We really didn't talk a lot about that. But we're going to see that as we enter into our rest, that our dependence is not on what we've doing or what we have done, but what Jesus has done. And And then verse 11 in the Amplified. Therefore, let us be diligent. Let us be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God. And so you see how the Amplified does it here. And just saying, let us, where instead of saying, let us labor, or we might say, let us be diligent, which is what my New American Standard would say. It says, let us be zealous, exert ourselves, and strive diligently to enter that rest of God. So that what? To know and experience that rest for ourselves. So we encouraged ourselves in that last week. And if we're going to be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently, then we begin to get a picture as this is the fight that we have to get into that rest. And once we do that, you're going to see today what opens up for you. So I want to start off today by talking about what does rest look like? And let me change that. What does my rest, what does your rest look like? And to do that, I want us to paint this picture by looking at seven Hebrew words where rest is talked about in a few different ways. So first go with me to Genesis 2:2. Now at this time, God has completed. He's gone through all of chapter 1 and first 6 days. And it says, by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done. Now, this whole concept we need to just have in our heart today, all throughout this teaching. God completed his work, which he had done. And so he did what? It says he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Now, this word rest here is Shavath. And I know it doesn't, you've heard Shabbat and Sabbath, but the B sounds like a V in the Hebrew language. And it literally means to cease, to desist, or to rest. So the question then is, why was he resting? Was he tired? No. He was what? That work was complete. And so that's the image I want us to see, that this rest is a rest, a laying down of the efforts we may put forth, just as God rested on this day. Now, I want you to look at the third verse. Quite often, we just read that second verse and stop. At least I do. But this third verse says, God blessed the seventh day. He spoke well of it. And he sanctified it. Now, what does sanctify means? To separate something. How about if we say it this way? Because it's the same word as used to make holy. He made it holy. And why did he make it holy? Because he rested in all his work which he had created and made. Now, I believe this is just telling us that as he blessed it and he set it aside, he was making a point for all mankind forever that rest, when work is complete, is important. And sometimes we don't pick that up from this, but I believe that's strongly what he's telling us. So now look at Genesis 8, verse 9. And this is our second one. This is when Noah and his family and the animals built the ark. Noah built the ark with his kids, I guess, and loaded up all the animals as instructed. And it says that God did what? Shut them in. So that's worth noting. And then the flood came, and it rained and rained, and then the rain quit. And here was Noah sending a dove out to just test and see what was going on. So here's the phrase that we pick up on. But the dove found no rest for the place or the sole of her foot. Now, the dove ended up doing what? It goes on and says he returned to the ark, and then Noah takes him in and puts him back in the ark. The word for rest here is Manoah, M-A-N, or Manoach, actually, M-A-N-O-A-C-H. And it means a place of rest or a settled spot. A spot where you can go and just settle into. Now, it's interesting that this word is talking about resting place in this situation, that the bird could not find that resting place. And it's also interesting that it's a dove, because you're going to see later on some connotations with Holy Spirit. But you know what? I think there's something here for us. The bird, the dove, found no rest or resting place or place of refuge or a settled spot on the earth. And I think that's telling us something too. Because if we are looking to this earth, if we're looking to our nation to receive rest, we're barking up the wrong tree. We are not going to find that rest on this earth through earthly things. But where are we going to find it? Well, what happened to the dove? He went back to where the Lord desired him to be, where he protected him. And that's the place where we want to be, is where he's placing us. The third one that we want to look at is in Genesis, the 18th chapter, the 4th verse. And this is where some angels come, and I believe one of the angels was the Lord Jesus in a pre-incarnate visit. And Abraham sees him coming, the Lord and two angels. So he says to him, let me read you verse 3, because I want you to hear that, and then we'll look at verse 4. But he says, thank you, my Lord, speaking to the Father, speaking to Jesus, I believe, if now I have found favor in your sight, please don't pass me by. Now, isn't it interesting? If he's found favor, in his presence is what? Favor. A lot of other stuff too, but pick that up from this verse. Please do not let pass me by. And then it says, please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Rest yourselves under the tree. This word for rest here is Sha'an, S-H-A-A-N, is how we would spell it in English. And it literally means to support oneself, or to support yourself. Now, I would just use this example. I can lean on this podium and let it support me and take some weight off at least 1 foot. This is the connotation that I believe it's talking about. So let me talk about the rest a minute. It's translated lean on, rest on, rely on, but also stay on. Now, we're going to be talking about John 15, and we're going to be talking about some other verses here in just a moment that build on this. But this is telling us that when we're in that place of rest, it is something that I can just take my weight off of myself and rely on, and I need to do what? Stay on it as well. Now, as I've talked about and studied some of these, I want to create some images in your mind as we're going through this. So let me tell you two images that came to my heart as I studied and prepared for this. The first one was John at the Last Supper. Now, many of you are scriptorians and know the word better than I ever will. So what image comes to your mind when we read that? It said John leaned upon his bosom, his chest. John knew that there was something there as he rested on Jesus, and it was because of the love that they had for each other. But this term support kept coming up, and when it did, Isaiah 41:10 came to my heart. And so I want to read you, I'm not going to show you on the screen, because we don't have this one, but at least I don't think we do, but New Living Translation for Isaiah 41:10. And listen to it now. And the word here in that we just read where he said, rest yourselves under the tree. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. Now, those two things almost sound like things that happen to us when we're not at rest, doesn't it? Then it continues on and says, I will strengthen you. And I want you to note, and I'll say this again on another verse, this word strengthen. I will strengthen you, I will help you. And then he says, I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. In other words, I'm going to do what? Support you. Saints, we can lean on Jesus when we feel like we can't stand anymore. And I want to say that also regarding when we read this verse in Ephesians 6:10, if we get to there today. Because when we are standing in faith, holding that shield of faith up out in front of us, he's there to support us. He's going to uphold us with his righteous right hand. But I want to tell you that you're important to each other in this too, because those shields had to be what? They were square doors. They had some connectors on the side so that I could take two shields and lock them together into one. And so we could lock my shield with yours, and we could build a line across here that was could not be penetrated. That's a support. That's, when we're at that position, that's where we can be in rest in this position, even though we're standing. Now, one last comment on this one. As I was meditating on this morning, that phrase, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet, that jumped out at me. I immediately thought of Peter. You remember what happened? When he told Jesus, I can't let you wash my feet. And he said, look, your feet need washing, the rest of you doesn't. Now, why this jumped out is I believe the Lord is telling us that as we walk on this earth, all of us are going to need a little water to be brought to have our feet washed. We've been made holy, so we don't have to wash our whole body. But in that, look what happens next. Begin to rest. Wash off the cares of this world and rest. So that's my image, two, a couple of images for this one. The fourth one is in Isaiah 11, the second verse. And this is a prophecy about our Lord Jesus, and this is picked up right in the middle of it. But it simply says, and this is really the only part I want, is that first line that you're seeing on the screen behind me. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now the word rest in this verse is nouach, N-U-W-A-C-H. And it means to settle down, to dwell, to stay, to remain, and to rest. The implications of this word, and you're going to be thinking as I'm talking, I'm sure, about the word abide or dwell in John 15, and that's good. But the implications that are there is that you can be so comfortable for there that you could just stay in that place of rest for an extended period of time, if not forever. Now, two things came to my heart as we read it. The first is, that is how the Holy Spirit feels dwelling inside you. And of course, my first thought when the Lord spoke that to me was, how can that be? Because I know my thoughts and I know all those things that you never see, but that you have the similar thoughts and things about yourself. But that's how holy your spirit person has been made, that the Holy Spirit can be comfortable there to dwell with you. How long does Hebrews 13:5 says? Forever. I won't, I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Now, if that's how the Holy Spirit feels in us, should not we feel that same way being in Christ Jesus? And the answer to that is yes, with several exclamation points on it. How many of you have ever had an experience where the presence of God just came in the room where you were? Maybe you were by yourself, maybe you were with a couple of people, and you don't want to move, and you're sitting there thinking, I don't want this to end. You know, a number of us have. I can recount several of times, particularly one comes to my heart, driving in a car from to Macon just before we were moving. And we left Greenville, South Carolina, and the presence of the Lord came in that car for an hour plus. And I really don't remember much of the trip except wondering what people thought who were driving by us. I didn't want it to stop. And so that's the type of comfort that I want you to have. But if you don't experience that type of comfort, that's still what's available to you when you know you're in His rest, because that rest has to be by faith. So even if you don't have the Jesus bumps or whatever you want to call them, that doesn't mean you're not at rest, because it's by faith, and the feelings are just some of that we obtain sometime that's kind of an extra. And how much better would it be if we could learn to stay in that place without going and coming, get into it, some things happen around you, and next thing you know, you're looking, and that fear and being afraid and worry that we just saw in Isaiah 41:10, or discouragement, comes. The next verse I want to look at is Psalm 37, verse 7. And again, we're going to look at the first two lines. I can read the whole verse and we'll come back. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. So let's go back, look at this now. Rest in the Lord. Now that doesn't sound like anything but a command to me. That's where we are to dwell, as we're beginning to see, constantly, consistently at peace there. And it says, and wait patiently for Him. Now, that says there are going to be times where we're in that and we're wanting Him to act, but let's be patient. Now, that word there for rest literally means, or the word is daman, D-A-M-A-M, daman. And it means to stop, to be silent, or to be still. Now, some of you, if you're trying to take notes and you're not getting it, just see me later, and if you'll give me a user ID, I can get you a copy of this so you won't have... I want you to hear more than I want you to write today. Let me just say it that way. But now consider that. To stop and be quiet despite all the things going on. And isn't it interesting that that's what that word means? And then it says right after that, don't fret. Because what do? Well, quite often, and I'll go lean upon the piano right here for a minute, we lean, we're in rest, we're staying, and then all of a sudden we're seeing, or we're listening to the news, or something comes up in our body and we feel it, and then we're fretting. What am I going to do? How do I, am I, and all those questions start again. So he's telling us, when we're at rest, waiting patiently for the Lord, don't do those things. Now, this word, when I begin to just wait for an image, Psalm 23 came to mind. Second and part of the third verse. New Living Translation, I'm going to read it to you again. He lets me rest in green meadows. He lets me rest in green meadows. Now think about that now. The sheep of our shepherd, he takes them first and leads them beside still waters, and they rest in those meadows. That's the peace that we can have there. He goes on to say, he leads me beside those peaceful streams. And then this next verse in the New Living says, he renews my strength. So in this resting, if you think about these are attributes of it, we begin to see this thing about renewing of strength come about. We saw earlier that he would what? He would strengthen us as he upholds us with his righteous right hand. So there's something about being at rest and being in his presence that's going to bring us peace, and it's going to strengthen us. And just think about, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do to us. The sixth one, and this one is one that I'm going to share with you the revelation I got on it. You have to decide whether it's, you believe this or not. But where have we been seated? At the right hand of God. Now, we're going to go over that in more detail in just a moment if that's new to you. But that's where we've seated. But this verse says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. Well, my mind just wants to know, how can I be at his right hand and he be at my right hand? And the only way that I can come up that that's possible is when I'm looking at him, as I'm looking at you face to face. And then we're kind of at each other's right hand. So that to me says I'm in his presence. And then it says, he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. I'm not going to be fretting, going back and forth, wondering, why isn't this working? Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoicing. Now we know that there's great pleasures in bringing before the Lord. I mean, the Psalms tells us that as well, great rejoicing. But look at this last verse here, last part of this verse. It says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh shall also rest. And what this translation that I'm reading here to you from says, in hope. So in hope means securely as well. But where is our hope when we are standing face to face with the Lord? It's certainly not in us. Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, Paul writes this. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Jesus is our joyful expectation, and that's what we're to behold and see when we're in rest in him. So we're just building. And then finally, number 7, Exodus 35, verse 2. Now this is when the Lord has instructed Moses how Israel should behold that day of rest. And it says, so 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day. Now that shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because we saw earlier that is what? He sanctified it. So this position of rest is holy. And I say those words very purposefully for what we're about to talk about. It is a Sabbath rest of rest to the Lord. Now the word Sabbath there literally means an intermission. So it is a time or a period of rest to the Lord. And then to notice how serious, remember the Lord blessed it and sanctified it, so we were saying he made it important. How important was it to him for them to learn in the physical what he was trying to teach them? And remember, this is the only way he could deal with them because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. It says, whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. So this is a commandment that you definitely would want to behave. Now this intermission. An intermission doesn't have in the definition of that word a defined time. They had, the Jewish people, a day of rest. They could have a week of rest. They could have 2 days of rest or 2 Shabbats. And that's what I believe it was when Jesus was crucified, that it was the Feast of the Passover, which was observed as a Shabbat, and it was the seventh day, back to back. And that, if you understand that, it explains some of the things that were going on. It can also be a year. And it can also be 7 years. Because isn't that what Jubilee was? They rested that seventh Sabbath, that seven sevens. So this day of rest for them was a time frame. But remember, when the Lord talked about in Hebrews 3 that they could not enter into the rest of Canaan, their rest was not always to be a time frame. It was to be a what? A place. And that's what Jesus has become for us. He is that place of rest that we have. Your Sabbath, your rest, is not about a time frame. And we'll see that again in a moment. It is a real person. And it is a real place of rest that you can get to. So let's talk for a few moments here about what Jesus said about rest. And so go to Matthew 11, and we'll go down to the last 3 verses in this chapter. And let me just read through these 3, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now let me stop and just make a comment. This is in capital letters because it's quoting something in the Old Testament. You need to read this, not that the capital letters just mean that it was something in the Old Testament. You need to read that as, what do we do when we type a text and we put things in caps? We emphasize it. We're shouting it. That's the way you need to read that line. And you will find rest for your souls. And then verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's go back to verse 28 and let's talk about some of these words. Weary. Other translations may say labor. The image that I get from the definition of the word is someone who is working extremely hard. Like a farmer, since they were an agrarian society, working out, hopefully not in this South Georgia heat that we're, or Middle Georgia heat we're having now, but think about somebody working so hard in this weather we're having now, and sweating and perspiring, and just don't seem to be able to quit, because there's something else we got to do tomorrow, and there's something else we got to do the next day. And that will make you weary. That's what that word means. And then it says, heavy laden. Now, this word is F-O-R-T-I-D-Z-O, for tidzo. And it means, it referring to something heavy that you're carrying, like a backpack would be for a soldier. Now, the image I got is some of the soldiers that we see in our army today with loaded out going to war. But then the Lord just showed me all these guys who were in that airplane, in those airplanes, flying from England over to France on D-Day. And some of them had to jump out of airplanes in parachutes. And then he showed me those who were in the boats with their backpacks on. Days and days of K-rations or whatever they ate in those times. Ammunition, large machine guns. And those boats would pull up, and if they hit a sandbar or couldn't get out all the way in, the front went down, and they had to what? They had to exit with all that on their back. That's the image of being heavy laden. So burdened, so heavy, that you're just wondering, when I jump out of the boat, am I going to be able to make it, or am I going to the bottom of the ocean? So when we get to feeling that way, the Lord then says, I'm going to give you rest. Anapoyo is that word that means translated rest. And here's what it means. A pause, a refreshment, a refill, or to reinvigorate. Now that sounds like the Lord is going to, when I find rest, he's going to be, not only am I going to be resting, but he's going to be building me up during that time as well. Now, isn't it interesting that that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us? Constantly keeps us what? Full. A constant refreshing through the Holy Spirit. But when we take this word, I will give you rest, how is he going to do it? And verse 29 tells us several things. He says, well, first of all, he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, what was a yoke used for? Well, you put it over an oxen, or if it's a double yoke, then you put it over two oxen, and you would have those work together. And quite often they would do what? Put a young ox with an experienced one who knew how to do it, so that he would train it, but they could use the muscles of both of those to do that plowing of the ground that needed doing. So when Jesus says here, take my yoke upon you, we think, okay, I'm going to be yoked up with Jesus. And I just want you to hold that thought. But then he says, learn from me. So this is talking about one who is going to do what? To teach us. Now, let's go back and talk about Jesus. Jesus didn't do any of these. He didn't do any soul winning. He didn't do any preaching. He didn't do any miracles until what had happened? The Holy Spirit had come upon him. Right? And then he said, I only do what I hear, what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear him say. And so that is obvious. The Holy Spirit, since Jesus had laid aside his deity privileges, was telling him the heart of the Father while he was on this earth. Now, if you don't believe that, then we don't stand a chance to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because if you think Jesus was just doing it in a supernatural way, and we can't. But this is why, and I learned this from Rick Renner, who Pastor Trey and I have grown to love his teachings, and particularly his understanding of the Greek words that are used. But he says that he believes, and I think he's absolutely right, when Jesus says, take my yoke, he is giving us the yoke that he was had on. But I believe he was yoked with the Holy Spirit, who was just guiding him around. And when he says to us, take my yoke, then what he's saying is, I'm going to get you yoked up with the Holy Spirit. And what he's done for me, he's going to do for you. Now, that is so important to me that we see that, because when that yoke came upon him, there he is, settled in with the Holy Spirit, comfortable with the Holy Spirit being there teaching him, just like two oxen have to be comfortable with each other as they work together. And being bound together, being put side by side, then that's the way that they were trained. So might we say that Jesus was settled and he was comfortable in that yoke with the Holy Spirit, and so should we. And then he could do what? Learn from him, as we know he did. Now, how real was this to Jesus? It was so real to him that just before he went to the cross, he said, "Everybody's left me, but I am not alone, for my Father is with me." What was he saying? I'm still yoked to the Holy Spirit. Now, I say that, and then think about us. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us when we're born again, in our spirit, and if that we are born again, believe, then we have become one spirit, united with him. That says, just like that yoke was with Jesus, the Holy Spirit wasn't going to pull out, and he's not going to do that for you and I. And so it's in that that we find that we can have rest. So that this, the burden then was not too heavy on either ox, and because the Holy Spirit, our helper, is there, then his burden on us, what he's called us to do, what we must learn to do, is not going to be burdensome or wearisome to us as long as we stay in his will. I have a son who is a pastor, and he has done a good job, and I'm so thankful for all the ways the Lord has used he and his wife. And I'm not telling this because he's heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it one more time. A lot of the times when I talk to him, "How you doing?" "I'm tired." Well, this says we shouldn't be weary and heavy laden. And what I tell him is, "What are you doing that the Lord isn't instructing you to do? What are you doing trying to do outside of being yoked to the Holy Spirit?" And saints, don't just look at pastors as people who can do that. We can do that same thing as well. So, when he is put in this position, then the work becomes easier that they're having to do because they're together. Now, that's not exactly rest, but I think it is important to note that it is a whole lot easier, and that hard work that we see, I don't carry the load because I've got Holy Spirit with me. Now, after Jesus was risen from the dead, let's just go to Ephesians 1:18. And we'll probably read this and one more, and I'll have to find a landing spot because we're not going to get through. Paul prays this, and I don't read the verse that I want to go to without reading this, because this speaks to us. Paul is praying for us, and he's praying that the eyes of our, it says heart, I believe this is correct. Other translations will say understanding, but I believe it's talking about the eyes of our spirit man may be enlightened, may see. And that's what we're doing today. We were talking about some things in our prayer time before service today, and it's obvious that Satan is at work in this world. I mean, you don't have to have a lot of high spiritual IQ to discern that. And what I want you to see, though, is that he's going to do things that's going to try to take your eyes, your spiritual eyes, away and put them on things of the earth. He has fought you, and he still fights people today to keep them from getting saved. But now you can say, it's too late, devil. Too late. I am saved. So what is he going to do? He's going to try to keep what we're talking about today away from your understanding, because he don't want you there. He knows when you enter this place of rest and are truly one with Jesus, he don't stand a chance. He knows his days are numbered, and so he's going to spend a lot of effort to keep you from being in this position of rest. So Paul is praying that we'll see that our heart, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of my spirit man will be enlightened, so that I will know what is the hope of his calling, not my calling, but his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Do you see yourself as having enriched Jesus since you believed? That's what he calls you. His riches. You know, Scripture tells us we don't want to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. But we must respect who we've been made to be. And we must be thankful for it. Continue on. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. In other words, it took great force for him to do what verse 20 is about to say, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Okay, now when he raised him from the dead, how many of us were raised from the dead with him? If you're born again, you better have your hand up. Because that's why it took so much power, because he was dealing with all the sin. So he raised him from the dead, and then he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, why would he seat him at his right hand in the heavenly places? Because his work was done. It was complete. One of the ways the devil is going to fight you and I and others in this world, and he's done too good a job to suit me, is to keep us thinking that we have to continue to earn everything we get from him. But your salvation is complete, and for many, that's just where the devil stops. He just says, okay, I'm not even going to fight him on that anymore. But I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to cause you distress. I'm going to keep you in fear and anxiety and worry. I'm going to keep you poor so that you never have enough to give to what I want to do and have that abundance. I'm going to do all these things because it will depress your thankfulness toward him, toward Father. And thanksgiving, I think, is our highest form of praise. So verse 20 says, he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, might we say Jesus has taken a seat in a place of rest? Amen. We could. But as I was preparing these things, the Lord also mentioned to me Matthew 28, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So what I want you to see, and I don't have a chair, but I'll just, if you don't mind, sit down right here. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father in a position of rest, but also in the position of authority. And folks, it is important that we understand that we cannot exercise the authority in the way the Lord wants us to until we first are confident that we're sitting in Him at rest. Amen. Now, let me conclude, and we'll pick up right here next week, but let me conclude by reading you Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. And then what I'm going to do next time I teach, which will be not next week, but the 10th, I believe, is we'll just pick up here and finish this. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love for you. I just want to make it personal. I want you to see yourself in this verse. Because of His great love with which He loved and loves and will love us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses or transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. In other words, He raised us up. When Jesus was raised, so are you and I. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And He raised us up with Him, and He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you sitting? Where were you sitting? And this is where we're going, and we'll build on it. The moment you were born again. Right there. At the right hand, a place of rest and a place of power. Saints, that's who you are. That's who we need to walk forth in this earth today as children of light, so that that light begins to shine so brightly. Now, we got more good to come. But you've got a glimpse, and just meditate these things. If you did not hear last week's, go back on the website or on Facebook and listen to it or view it, because these two just build on each other. We have been placed in a position of rest and authority, and we have no hard labor to do. I did not say we have assignments. Your salvation is complete. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that You've revealed to us Your heart through these seven words that we've looked at, to see how we're to settle down in You, in Jesus, at Your right hand, beholding You face to face. Thank You, Father, that we see today that this work of our salvation is complete, and therefore we say, not only am I an eternal being that's going to spend the rest of my existence, which is forever with You, but today I have peace. I've been made whole. Sickness and disease, none of the curses may prosper in me. I am ample in my finances to do the things that You're calling and leading me to do. Everything that Jesus has pertaining to life and godliness is mine as I'm at rest in Him. And Satan, I'm just going to just rub it in right now and tell you, you got more today who are learning that we can operate in our authority. And that means we have dominion over You. You will not rule over His people. We will put You under our feet as we've been instructed to do. And it's in Jesus' name that everybody said, amen. So if you would like prayer today, then we'll be happy to, Pastor Trey and I will be happy to pray with you. But go in peace. Go seeing yourself seated in that position of rest and authority. and we'll build that faith more the next time we talk or I teach on the 10th. Thank you.